Have you ever heard a person who talk about their experience during the World War? Older people love to tell about their stories during the World War, and most often they would repeat the same story again and again because that experience they have might have impacted their lives and they just cannot forget those experiences. And heroes of the war cannot tell about their stories, but the veterans can tell about their stories. There was this old pastor, he's gone with the Lord. He told me about the story of why they are called veteran. Because during the war, they would better run than to face the enemy, so they better run. They became veteran anyway. Anyway, there was this church leader too, who loved to tell about his success in life, and obviously he was very practically successful according to the world standard, to the standard of the world. Yet, he left the material world to serve the Lord full time. And if he would tell about the story, he would not hesitate to tell how he left those successes in life, practical success in life, with multiple master's degree and being president of organizations and presidents of companies in the East. And yet, he was looking for a perfect, a best employer that he could have. And he testified that the Lord is the best boss he should serve. Let me ask you. When someone keeps talking about what the Lord has done in their lives, do you get tired or annoyed of it? When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to listen to that. And this is what we continue to testify. We keep on telling other people what the Lord has done in our life. The same story, the same gospel that we share to other people, and we just cannot get tired of telling others about what the Lord had done in our lives. There's no limitation of time, how many times we are to witness, how we are to testify. As long as God would present us opportunities to testify about what the Lord has done in our lives, we tell them about the Lord. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus produces exciting, challenging, unending stories and experiences. Have you observed that? Even in small matters, everyday tasks that you do, great things, small things, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can find wonderful things around. Even by just walking and see the beauty of flower and grass, or the changing color during fall, or even appreciate the rain. Do you like rain? I like when it's raining. I don't like driving on the road anyway, but I like it when it's raining. It feels home. Back in Baguio City, it's almost always raining every day. Even during summer, it rains. And it feels good, it feels great when it's raining. Now, what changes that Christ has done in your life that you would like to tell others or hear about, to witness? When we witness, we tell of our personal experience, what we see, what we heard, what we have touched, the hardship, the excitement, the loneliness, the joy of having the Lord in our life. It's not about personal opinion. I think the Lord is, that is not witnessing. When you tell about your testimony, I think the Lord is, don't say I think, because that is not witnessing. That is teaching, it's not witnessing. When you witness, when you go to the court and say, judge, I think that this person is, no, that is not acceptable testimony. Your opinion is different from your testimony. And the book of Acts is a recollection of significant events that Dr. Luke had seen, observed, and participated during the missionary journey with Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was their team leader. And he remembered their travels, and he noted down the places where they have been to, the activities that they did, the experiences among the people. The account of their trip was a reminiscence of the Lord's work in their missionary journey. Let's read again verse 13, 14, 15, and 16. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made his arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day we set sail from there and arrived at Chios. The day after that we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. Apostle Paul had been preaching for the whole night at Troas, and the following day he traveled on foot. Just imagine, all night preaching, he should have sailed by boat, which his team members did, and yet what he did was, he walked to Assos. Assos is somewhere about 8 to 12 hours walk from Troas, going south. And it's not like Winnipeg or Manitoba, which is flat terrain. It's rolling terrain. Just imagine how could he do that? Why would he rather walk than sail? Walking for 8 to 12 hours. Well, if you were a walkathoner, you like walking. Maybe it takes you about an hour or two or three, about 50 to 70 kilometers from Troas, 50 to 75 kilometers. Paul left Troas and traveled on foot south to Assos, while his mission team aboard a ship and sailed to Assos, where they joined them. Then they sailed to the island of Mytilene. Well, where did Paul get that strength? This is why he said somewhere in the Bible, beauty are the feet of those who bring good news. I suppose the legs of Paul are just so with pack of muscles, perhaps because he loved walking. Some people say the toes of his feet are like ginger. Something like that. I don't know, because he loved walking, but I suppose that he loved walking because he just want to see the beauty of the environment. There was no account on why Apostle Paul went to Assos, but it is where they sailed to Mytilene. They could have sailed from Troas to Mytilene, island of Mytilene. The island of Mytilene is just next west of Troas or Assos. He might have met some disciples or have some personal concerns to attend to. It was not mentioned because Dr. Luke was not there. He sailed aboard the ship while Apostle Paul walked. Perhaps it was trivial, or it was just too personal and not worthy to be told. I don't know. Perhaps he had gone taking selfies or taking pictures of birds, but there was no camera at that time. There was no cell phone at that time, so it's not that way. Paul and his mission team stayed overnight in Mytilene, the island of Mytilene. Then they sailed to Chios, and then Samos, and then Miletus. Miletus is about 60 kilometers south of Ephesus. From there, in Miletus, Paul hoped to reach Jerusalem before Pentecost, it says. What can we learn in this? Why did Dr. Luke wrote those places that they went through? Perhaps if you were a historian, you can trace how they traveled, and it is really very practical and very accurate. So how often do you recall your spiritual trips? How you travel with the Lord? How you journey with the Lord in this world? But from the time you became Christian, from the time you were baptized, from the time you became a member of a church, do you have a spiritual journal? Do you write your spiritual journey? How many of you have watched the movie about the life of General Douglas MacArthur? Did you watch that? I was so curious. Not because I'm interested about war, but I'm curious what have been done. But in that movie, every significant activity of the general was recorded in video or in still pictures. And there were reporters, there were military photographers. It would have been a very good position for a soldier to just taking picture for a general. Oh, I can be your photographer. You can apply in the military and be just the photographer of a general, and just be good in taking picture, and that general would love you and keep you safe, and keep you, and maybe promote you because you just make good videos of him. Reporters and military photographers were organized or positioned. This is where you stay, this is where you would record, this is how I would like to be presented to the media. And they document, they publish his accomplishment. This is why they learned about the exploits of General MacArthur. If there were no photographers at the time, and it is only by word, maybe it would be forgotten. But we learn about history because someone else recorded the events. Just as Dr. Luke recorded the events, those activities that they have with the team of Apostle Paul. Now, think about this. Think of your personal experience. Is your spiritual life worth reminiscing? Have you watched? Do you love watching Asian drama? Many of you love K-drama, right? But have you watched that Rookie Historian? Who watched it? Rookie Historian. Rookie Historian, you might be interested in, what is this Rookie Historian? You go to Netflix and look for that. rookie historians, they record about the activities of the kings. And that was, I suppose, the situation during the time of Apostle Paul. Somebody was recording, and it was Dr. Luke. It was a bright idea to record activities, especially for leaders. The leaders would like to be remembered of their activities. And in the Bible, the accounts of activities of kings and leaders of Israel were given a significant portion in the Bible. How about ordinary citizens? Well, there are ordinary citizens. Ruth was ordinary citizen. Who else? Who would tell the stories of ordinary citizen? Or do stories of ordinary person worth telling the next generation? When I was in seminary, we studied a book about Brother Lawrence, not because he was my namesake, but Brother Lawrence was just a person who loved the Lord. After he had this foot problem after the war, he wanted to become a priest. And he applied in a seminary, but they did not want him to enroll because of physical disabilities. And being a priest, you need to go somewhere else, especially in those times. It requires physical ability. So in the monastery, he was relegated to the kitchen. He was not the cook. He was just peeling potatoes every day, peeling many sacks of potatoes every day. That was what he did. And yet, he recorded in his journal, in his diary, one story about a woman. I don't know if it was a woman, but. And we studied how he found joy in serving the Lord. He told in that diary, he told about this, how he found the Lord, how found the love of serving the Lord even in a small task. If you have a chance to look for that, you can find it online. I think there are PDF online. Brother Lawrence, Lawrence, and you might want to learn from that. So if you think that you are not a leader, you are just ordinary member, you are just ordinary Christians, is my life worth remembering? That may inspire you. I was so amazed that students who are taking doctoral studies was studying a life of an ordinary potato peeler. Why not study about the life of Dr. So-and-so? Well, there are a lot of those doctorate people, but we study those. What activity is worthy to be remembered? What do you think? Let's read this activity among the apostles, disciples, in Acts chapter 1, verse 48. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Observe for a moment. Think about that. They gathered. They had a dinner, and they were meeting. The Lord Jesus said, "Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift the Father promised, which he heard me you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then think about that. Suddenly the disciples ask, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? What was happening? The disciples were not paying attention. He was saying, why? And then they asked, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Their agenda is different. They have personal agenda. They did not want to listen to the Lord. The Lord said, wait, okay, wait, and you will be baptized. The topic was about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they should have asked, what is baptism of the Holy Spirit? Can you explain about that? But the Lord was very focused when he said, it's not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive. He just bring them to the Holy Spirit. He wanted them to learn about the Holy Spirit, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And many among us, we don't pay attention of being filled of the Holy Spirit. We just, what was the pastor telling? When you come out of this church building, I know one thing that you would remember. The story of the better run. The story of the better run. Because it makes you laugh. The disciples were not paying attention when Jesus told them to wait and be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But are we paying attention? Are you empowered? Are we empowered? Listen carefully. In this time of pandemic, we need peace because it's very easy to be rattled, to panic when we hear that the death about COVID, death from COVID is rising. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit, listen very carefully, separates the disciple from self-proclaimed believers. Now, tell yourself, am I a disciple or self-proclaimed believer? Well, I'm Christian too. I go to the Meeples Evangelical Church. I read the Bible. I give my tithes and offering. I am Christian. That's not what I want to hear. What I want to hear is, are you empowered by the Holy Spirit? And that, my friend, separates you as disciple from self-proclaimed believers. Disciple experience the desire to witness when empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to tell of what the Lord had done in your life. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit gives joy and peace. Whatever little task that you do or great task that you've been struggling about, you would sense that peace and joy. And with that, you will have something to tell because the Lord empowered you. Believers who do not witness are not empowered by the Holy Spirit, just yet. So pray, Lord, fill me. If you can remember it every day, every moment, even when you're driving, even when you're, especially when you wake up in the morning, if you remember that once you wake up in the morning, Lord, thank you for waking me up and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't know what would happen, but just fill me. I don't even know what that means is, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but fill me anyway, empower me anyway. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, it says, let's read together. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Remember that verse. Remember that it may inspire you, and keep remembering Revelation 22, verse 12, that the Lord Jesus will come and eventually give reward to each one of us. How? According to what we have done. What we have done? Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Even when you are doing your household chores, your work as student, your work and in the office, you, as student, you do not cheat. Even if you fail, well, I did my best, and my best is not enough. If your best is not enough, you did your best, perhaps the Lord is telling you, take this another path. Maybe this path is not yours. He might have been detouring you because the road that you are pursuing is under construction, not yet for you to pursue, maybe in the future. The Lord rewards obedience to His instruction. Of course, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we obey Him. Obedience by force, or if you are compelled to obey because, oh, Pastor said, I need to witness, I need to go. You are compelled to obey because of that. That's not empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that is wasted. Make sure that when you do things, it's not because of any other reason, but by the empowerment of the Lord, the joy and peace that is in your heart. You know it, that you like it. You have that enthusiasm. Can you say enthusiasm? Enthusiasm? Do you know what is enthusiasm? Enthusiasm comes from Greek word entheos, or empowered by God. That is enthusiasm. This is why when you are empowered by God, you have that enthusiasm. You are not just, it's not somebody who is pushing you. That feeling kind of somebody's pushing you. You don't like it because somebody's pushing you. Instead, you want it because of that joy. You have that peace that comes from the Lord. There's that enthusiasm. Remember that word enthusiasm. When you do things, do you have enthusiasm doing it? If you are not, if you don't have that, don't waste your time. So know your spiritual gift, because your spiritual gift, when the Lord gives His personal instruction for you, it is integrated with your spiritual gift. For example, if your spiritual gift is leadership, when somebody said, you have the gift of leadership. No, I don't like. This is somebody who was pushing you. But pray about that. Pray about that. No, I'm too young to be a leader. You have a lot of reason? Very good. If you have. If you are not capable, you don't have confidence? Very good. You don't have confidence to be a leader? Very good. Why? Because if you don't have confidence in the self, you can ask the Lord for help. The person who has a confidence in the self to be a leader will fail in the ministry. Will fail. Why? Why is it? Should we not have that confidence to lead? If you have confidence in the self, you will fail. You will be frustrated. You will be disappointed. But if you have confidence in the Lord, that's another thing. So if you don't have confidence in yourself, that's very good qualification. Because you cannot depend upon yourself, you depend upon the Lord. Know your spiritual gift. Ask the Lord, what is my spiritual gift? There are a lot of ways you can find your spiritual gift. People will tell you. You can answer questions that have been written in the internet. How to know my spiritual gift? You can answer that. But it would be better if you would ask the Lord, And the Lord would lead you step by step. The Lord would not reveal it exactly. For me, for example, if the Lord told me, your gift is to be a pastor, are you kidding me, Lord? I would say that immediately because I'm scared of being a pastor. I told my wife, I told you before, that never will I stand behind a pulpit. Why am I standing here? Why do I have that confidence being here? It's not the confidence in me. It's the Lord who gave me this confidence and tell you what I should say. Maybe, I think God allowed me to stand behind this because for me, who had no qualification at all to stand here, might inspire you who are more qualified to serve the Lord. Your spiritual toil in the Lord will be rewarded for sure. Remember Revelation 22, verse 12. Let's read again. Behold, I am coming, son. My reward is with me, and I will give you everything, everyone. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. According to what he has done. What did you do for the Lord lately? You do not need, Lord, I'm doing this for you. No, you do not need to say that. I want to do this. I want to do that. But Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the small task that you do or the great responsibility that you do is for the Lord. Let's read verse 17 to 21. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Apostle Paul, he just recalled, reminisced what he did in Ephesus, his work, his spiritual toil among the Ephesians. But what good would it give him, Apostle Paul, and the elders of Ephesus to reminisce, to remember the toil, the work, the spiritual work he had done among them? Dr. Luke was there. He recorded what Paul said to the for us readers to know what Paul was focused. He was very focused to lead people to repentance and to have faith in the Lord. He did not mention leisure moments, vacation, sightseeing activities, potluck fellowship, food he ate, the games he played, or any other activities, it was not recorded. Well, you think, some people say, oh, that's life of Apostle Paul was very boring, but he always preached, rejoice in the Lord, even in jail, he rejoiced in the Lord. I have learned how to be satisfied with few. I learned how to be satisfied with plenty. Because the Lord filled him with the Holy Spirit, he had this joy in his heart. Did Apostle Paul watch any play? Basketball games? Oh, no, there's no basketball games at that time. Attend parties, any party? Did he go fishing? I don't know. He might have loved fishing. Did he plant something? Did he watch birds? Those activities would have been recorded in his Instagram or Facebook page if he lived in our generation. I don't know if he would. But do you think he did those things? Perhaps. Personally, if you were to tell, if we were to tell our toils as believers in the Lord, if we were to tell story about being a Christian to the next generation, or to our friends or relatives, to office mates, will it be worthy to be included in the Bible? Well, I would tell, well, when I went to Winnipeg Beach, I caught something. Well, I went to Manitoba Lake, I caught something. I will talk about fishing for me if I were. But what is that? Is it worthy to be included in the Bible? With the empowerment of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Lord, our toil, small matters or big matters, will surely be very significant and worth reminiscing. Now remember that day, you step up the house, oh, it's raining. What did you say? Oh, it's raining, my boots. It's raining, it's so cold. Or when you step up or out of the house and you feel the coldness of outside, and there's rain. Do you feel like, wow, thank you for the rain, Lord. It reminds me, nobody can control rain. But this reminds me that blessing comes from above. Blessings comes from the Lord. Remember every time it rains, remember that blessing comes from the Lord. Now, if you were to tell a story about the Bible, what is your favorite story in the Bible? Some of you might have enjoyed reading the story of Samson. Do you like the story of Samson? This is one of the most dramatic, action-packed story in the Bible that we tell about him to our children. But most of the time, many times when we tell about the story, we forget something to tell them. We love to hear the story. We love to hear the exploit. We want to tell the exploit of Samson. But we need to know that Samson was very strong because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Lord. And here are some of the accounts when the Spirit of the Lord empowered Samson. In Judges 14:6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in power so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands that he might have torn a young goat. People would remember that he tore the lion with his bare hand, but they would not remember the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In Judges 14:19, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in power, he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 of their men, 30 Philistines. And then Judges 15:14, as he approached Lehi, the Philistine came toward him shouting, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in power, the ropes in his arms were like charred flax and the binding drops from his hands. That was the time when the Israelites bind him with ropes and give him to the Philistines, but he allowed himself just to prove that the Spirit of the Lord is very powerful. When empowered by the Holy Spirit, you would do ordinary things still in extraordinary way or extraordinary means. Like, for example, you are driving down the road, and many times it's traffic, right? You feel sad, you feel bad, it's so slow because of the it's construction season, you know. There are a lot of seasons here, in five seasons here in Winnipeg. Winter season, spring, summer, fall, and construction season. And pandemic season. Listen carefully. When God allows problems, even that problem of driving. You drive. Yesterday I was driving, and I was observing, I was following a white SUV, and he was nearing that amber light, that crossing in amber light, but he stopped. I told Laika, oh, he stopped because of there's camera, silver Century 90, right? Century 90. Road 90, Century. Silver road, there's light there. He stopped. And then he went ahead. After it was go, I was just observing the person. And then when we reached Dublin, he stopped again. It was near. He could have passed that amber light, but he stopped. And I tried to look at, older man, he wants to stop. He must have been enjoying his driving because he just don't want to beat the red light. He's just enjoying how he drives. And many times when we are rushing, we want to beat the red light, right? But when you beat the red light, and instead of earning for the day, you would pay double. You lost your day, right? Maybe your day wage is 100, but you are fined 200. What's the point, right? What's the point of going to work if you earn? You went to work and just pay for 100 more. What's the point? Think about that. When God allows problem, He allows problems, things that we just cannot handle ourselves. God allows those situations for us to seek Him. He wants us to experience His grace. He wants us to experience His power. So when you have a problem, if you can remember, keep praying, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that in the midst of problem, instead of saying things that you would regret later or do things that you would regret later, you would have that peace, you would have that joy. Even if you were not able to get what you want or what you plan, we should seek the help of the Lord. His work in us, in our problem, becomes practical proof when we witness. Why did God allow that problem? Perhaps God is preparing you for you to be able to sympathize or empathize with other person one day, and you will be able to minister to that person. If you have problem, for example, of finances, and still you have that joy, how you were able, the Lord enabled you to overcome that problem, for example, then one day when newcomers come to Canada, they would also experience similar experience you experienced. You would say, yeah, keep on. I have that experience before, but keep on trusting the Lord. You encourage. You have problem with relationship. For example, God allowed that too to happen. There are different kinds of problems that we experience. But the problem that you experience, it could be that God would use your testimony one day, not just encourage one person, but many people, not only your children, relatives, friends, but maybe other people too. And you would want to tell again and again and reminisce that experience that you have experienced and tell others and testify because of that. So keep praying for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me to remember to keep praying to be empowered by your Holy Spirit. Just wait and keep on praying. And you would sense that joy and peace from God. And those are signs being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're asking me, somebody asked me, what is the difference of doing this and doing that, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, or just trying to pursue? Like, for example, you have a project, school project, for example. You know how to do it. You try to impress your teacher. And yet, in the end, the teacher said, you missed something, it's not perfect. And you are frustrated because you want to impress your teacher or your peers. When you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, you may have similar result. Not, your teacher may not be impressed just yet. But in your heart, you have joy and peace. The first, when you don't have the Holy Spirit, you were frustrated. But the second, when empowered by the Holy Spirit, the same result. But you have in your heart joy and peace. That is being empowered by the Holy Spirit. When joy and peace prevails in us, we know that it's the Lord working in our life. So keep asking that. In witnessing, no one knows if it's time to plant the gospel seed, or to water, or to harvest what others have planted. When we witness, we don't know. It's not our task to know that. But when empowered by the Holy Spirit, the timing of God is always perfect timing. Some people may suggest, oh, it's wrong timing in witnessing. That's why they did not listen to us. Maybe our representation is not so clear. That is why they rejected us. Well, because they don't know. They just don't know if it was time to plant the seed, or water the seed, or harvest souls. In John chapter 3, verse 32 to 34, it says, talking about the Lord Jesus, he testified to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speak the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. Remember that. God gives the Holy Spirit without limit. Anytime, anywhere, ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit? Perhaps when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and prayed, Lord Jesus, be my personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is in you. But you relegated it somewhere in your life. You didn't allow him to be in the throne of your life, to be in authority. So when you pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not because the Holy Spirit is not in you, but allowing him to take the reign, to be the driver of your life, to be in the driver's seat of your life. So let every witnessing effort be counted and rewarded. If you are pressured about witnessing, if you are pressured about telling others about the Lord Jesus, you feel that pressure, but you have that excitement. Pray about that. Wait until you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. When you're empowered with the Holy Spirit, you will do still the same things that you've been doing every day, but in a different way. You have enthusiasm in doing it. No one can discourage, no one can stop you from the joy of witnessing when you tell others what the Lord has done in your life, when He empowers you. So keep praying. Keep praying to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you would love reminiscing what He has done in your life. When you tell others, when you tell your children, when you tell your grandchildren, when you tell your friends, your relatives, or those whom God had prepared to listen to you, you would love to tell what He has done in your life. Shall we pray?